Malachim Aleph Perek Zayin Pasuk Zayin, continuing the description of the Beis Ya'ar HaLavanon, and according to some, perhaps a different palace. So this is, according to many, a second building, the permanent year-round palace that Shlomo HaMelech built. Others say it might have been part of the summer house, but it sounds like this is a new palace now. V'ulam ha'kisei asher yishpat sham. And so we don't have a big description of the entire palace. We move straight to the throne room, to the chamber of the throne, the ulam of the kisei, where he would judge from there. Ulam ha'mishpat asa, the throne room of judgment. So it's really impressive and overwhelming. Somebody comes in for judgment from the king. And plus, if you know some of the Midrashim about the famous throne of Shlomo that had the moving animals and great power, and Pyro got himself bitten by making his way up on that throne, it was a truly impressive room. The Safun Bo Erez Mehakarka Ad Hakarka. He covered it with cedar from the foundation to the foundation. So many of the Mefarshim say that Ulam HaKisei and Ulam HaMishpat were the same room. Some say it was different rooms, but most say it was the same room. Some say that the Ulam HaMishpat was outside the throne room where people prepared and waited to see the king. And, you know, all of the pages and all of the staff are telling you how to bow, how to walk in. When one goes to meet the king or queen of England, there's a royal protocol that one has to obey on their way in and on their way out. And you're told how to bow, and you're told what to wear, and you're told how to speak, and you're told not to look straight into the eye. So I'm sure some of this was going to be true of Shlomo HaMelech, the greatest king in the known world at that time. Now, what does it mean he covered it with cedar from the foundation to the foundation, the karka? Usually the karka generally means the ground, so from the ground to the ground, or from the floor to the floor. So some say it means from wall to wall. The entire floor was covered with cedar. Some say it was a path that went from the throne room to the Beis Ya'ar HaLavanon. So in that case, this throne room would have been part of the summer house rather than the permanent throne room, paved over with cedar so that it wouldn't be worn out when people went walking on it. So either way, this is tremendous use of valuable wood taking place here. Pasuk Ches, Uveso Asher Yeshev Sham Chater Hoacheres. And his house where he lived had a separate courtyard, Mibeis Lo Ulam, farther in than the antechamber, Mibeis, further in from the Ulam. Kamase Hazeh Hoya. And it was made in the same way. So if you started in the throne room, which may have been the Mishpat room, or first there was a Mishpat room, then a throne room, and then continuing inward came a courtyard, and then came the royal residence. So much like the West Wing in the White House, there are the residential areas, and then there are the official areas where business is conducted and where the offices are. So here too, and there was going to be a courtyard that separated the private residence from the outer areas where other people were permitted to be. You know, the tour guides show you the outside, but the inside isn't for everybody to see. And all of this was part of the greatness of the dwelling places that Shlomo had made, but the architecture, according to that phrase, Kamase Hazehoya, implies that Shlomo chose a single theme of design for all of his houses to all be pleasing in the same way, covered with cedar and designed in the same way, designed the way the throne room had been designed. The walls were made of stone, as we're going to see in the next pasuk. But in the meantime, there was a third building that he created. So we have the Beis Ya'ar HaLavanon, the summer house. We have the regular palace, which apparently is Pasuk Zion without any further explanation. And then Uvayis Yase Levas Paro Asher Lokach Shlomo. And he made a house. Interesting, Ya'ase, which sounds like he will make a house. It could be that he decided to build a house and didn't build it until later. So this is the planning stage, that he decided to build a house for Bas Paro that Shlomo had married. More about that marriage when we get back to her later. She is not a good influence on Shlomo HaMelech, but he decided to make her a palace, Ka'ulam Hazeh, that was like this antechamber. And it's only being mentioned here because it's the same design schema that he's using for all the other buildings. Now, as far as the buildings go, kol eila pasuk tes, kol eila avonim yikaros kemidos gazis. All of these were of precious stones. Some say gazis means standard hewn stones, because there was a standard size for the big Jerusalem stone that they used to build. So it doesn't need to explain what the measurement was, because it was a well-known measurement at the time. The midos gazis, everybody knew what that meant. Migororos vamegeiro mibayis umichutz. And they were sawed with the saw inside and out. Unlike the Beis HaMikdash, which we needed to make without any metal implement of any kind, there was no reason not to use saws and common sawzall tools when you're building a palace of this sort. Some say Avanim Yikaros means it was beautiful stones like marble, and some say it means heavy stones. The stones for these royal buildings were specially prepared. Smooth not just on the exposed surface and rough on the interior, these were smoothed down on all six sides. So even the places where the stones were cemented to each other were smooth and beautifully done. Umi masad ad hatefachos. And that's part of the explanation for what that means. From the foundation up until the ceiling on all sides, umi chutz ad hechatzar hagedola. And from the outside to the great courtyard. For the foundation, you used the biggest stones that you had. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used very large stones above the ground in the wall itself. And they made ledges, as we saw when we talked about the kind of upper ledges on the outside. Some say the ledges were places where Kohanim could sleep. The younger Kohanim slept on the ground. The older ones slept on ledges. So these extensions, where the ledge extended one tefach further than the wall, if you're an old Kohen sleeping on a 6-inch space, that's not really very comfortable for me. I would have been very nervous. I would fall off. But that's the way it's done. Some say tefachos means the ceiling. From floor to ceiling, they were all smooth and beautiful. Some talk about the ledge on top. El michutz mi'ad ha'chatzar gadola, talking about these extended pieces of stone that kind of stick out. Some say that the cedar that's mentioned in the last pasuk is talking about the roofs of the buildings, which were made of cedar, or the rows of beams in the walls of the courtyard. So we see, again, a lot of uncertainty as to what the visual was, but a lot of certainty that these were expensive, carefully built, and done with great craftsmanship.